There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yeah, I cannot wait. You know, those drink pretty good shirts are coming out from our friends over at the Nutria Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we get them in here, we'll be modeling them in studio.
Yeah.
And y'all, bringing the audio of this show to your eyes is what these folks are doing. So when this comes out, I can't wait to debut that shirt. I saw the mock-up. You saw the mock-up.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. You see the sticker on the back of my laptop, don't you?
Yes, I see you've got your Nutri Rodeo sticker there,
too. That's right. I'm repping it.
Yeah, but it's that's you should have put it over the Dell symbol.
Oh.
You shouldn't see right now because I see the yeah, like.
Well, I'm also sponsored by Dell.
Are you? So okay, well, good deal.
They gave me this laptop for full price, actually.
Oh, such a deal, man.
Yeah.
Nice how you just the way all my money's dried up from the Koch brothers now that we've lost one, right?
Yeah.
I've always told that I only have this opinion or that one because the Koch brothers paid me. I'll take the money. If it wants to drop it off, brown paper bag or mm-hmm. Walmart plastic bag, I don't care, paper or plastic.
I will shill.
Get cash, just bring it in and drop it off. A couple things here. As we get started with this hour, one thing. Here, President Trump is tweeting right now. A lot of fake news is being reported that I overruled the VP and various other advisors on a potential Camp David meeting with the Taliban. This story is false. I always think it's good to meet and talk, but in this case, I decided not to. The dishonest media likes to create. Okay, this is one of these. Here's a story that I think we can get down to the bottom of. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
President say a lot of fake news is being reported that I overruled the vice president and various advisors on a potential Camp David meeting with the Taliban. This story is false. I always think it's good to meet and talk, but in this case, I decided not to. But he just said I don't follow that. Am I missing something there? Because he said dishonest media likes to create. So mm-hmm. either he was going to do it, or
right.
he wasn't going to do it.
You'd think it'd be clear-cut, one way or the other.
Like, you don't overrule yourself. This is going to be one of those hours where people don't understand, you know, whose side are you on? I'm on the side of logic.
And he doesn't want it to appear that the vice president would be in any sort of decision-making, you know, that he wouldn't be making any decisions,
okay,
right?
Okay, well, take VP out of it. Say it says a lot of fake news is being reported that I overruled, we won't even say, on a potential Camp David meeting with the Taliban. This story is false. So what would be false is that he overruled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always think it's good to meet and talk, but in this case, I decided not to.
Right. See, he's just saying that it was his decision to meet with the Taliban, and then it was also his decision not to meet with the Taliban. There was
no overruling going on. He just changed his mind.
He just changed his mind.
Okay. All right. So that's part of it. And another part of it here, too, is so much time is being taken up with this. So, but we'll address it because it seems to be the gotcha culture of, you know, politics is not about ideas anymore. It's just my team, your team. It's you know, it's fanboys and fangirls. And
mm-hmm.
my person does no wrong and your person always does wrong and all that ridiculous, childish stuff. So this thing about the National Weather Service and the president, you just heard the update there from Westwood One News. So the president says Alabama last week.
Right.
Alabama was possible. You have the quote here.
Yeah, the tweet came out just over a week ago. So it was last Sunday when we were starting to see Dorian, what track it might take. This was
right
before it went over the Bahamas and left that mm-hmm. trail of destruction. But that's when the president tweeted, In addition to Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama will most likely be hit much harder than anticipated, looking like one of the largest hurricanes ever, already Category 5. Be careful. God bless everyone. Well, prior to that, I think one of the spaghetti models had it possibly coming up into our area. So
even
not,
Dr. Bill had said early on that it could
right.
come across the Florida Peninsula into the Northeast Gulf. And then he thought it'd go up north there. He said there is one small chance it may track along the northern Gulf Coast.
Right.
But that was early, early on.
Very early on. And by the time the president had tweeted that, that spaghetti model had changed and Alabama was no longer threatened. So right. National Weather Service Birmingham Twitter account came out, I think, right around 20 minutes after the president tweeted that and did their job. They're trying to, you know, keep the public from panicking. They said that it wasn't snarky or anything, I don't think. They said Alabama will not... with all caps, not. Alabama will not see any impacts from Dorian. We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane Dorian will be felt across Alabama. The system will remain too far east. Okay, so you'd think that would be
right.
end of the story.
Right.
Then we saw, as the week went on last week, the president had the big map in his office.
Well, that's where it was. So at that point, if you had a freeze frame there, I can say, listen, the president was looking at an older track.
Mm-hmm.
He said Alabama. National Weather Service comes out and says, you know, with the current information, actually, it's not going to affect out. Right there, good, fine.
Yeah, should okay. be over.
And at that point, I'm President Trump's side. Mm-hmm. Leave him alone. He said something that changed. I mean, these forecasts change all the time.
Right.
That was until I saw the drawn-on extra lobe at the press conference the other day. And I just, can't, for the life of me, and I'm sure there's somebody who can explain how this is three-dimensional chess to me. But he can't sometimes, and I know the president's been successful doing a lot of things, but sometimes he can't get out of his own way. If somebody else did that without his knowing, they need to be fired. If he decided that that needed to be done, that is one of the worst, even though it's silly and insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Why do you do that?
Right. That's the issue, is that it was already, you know, just let it go.
Exactly.
Leave it the way it is. No right. one's going to say anything. But he couldn't be wrong in this case for some reason. And it went on, though. Past that, you know, everyone was making fun of the president. Not everyone, but a lot of people, especially late night hosts, making fun of the president for the Sharpie that was added on to that map. And you think even then, okay, now it's over, right? They're not going
right.
to say anything else about Alabama possibly being in the eye of the storm, which, you know, by the way, has killed a bunch of people at this point.
Correct.
This story, we should
move on. Five landfalls. I mean, we're looking at a death toll right now, at least 45 out of the Bahamas. And
Well, that wasn't the end of it. And I saw, and you know, this is how you know that it got real, because James Spann,
a
well-known meteorologist here in Alabama, he tweeted something on Friday that caught my eye, and I think caught the eye of a lot of people, you know, here in Alabama that follow James Spann for his knowledge.
I follow him on Twitter. Yeah, he's a heck of a meteorologist. Dr. Bill respects him, so I think he's probably pretty good.
So he quote tweeted another meteorologist from Atlanta, Ryan Maui, M-A-U-E, who tweeted a letter from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. And NOAA.
Administration.
That's right. And so he tweeted, whoa, nothing like throwing your Alabama National Weather Service office under the bus. Here's the letter that NOAA tweeted, or that NOAA sent out. They said, this came out Friday, September the 6th. From Wednesday, August 28th through Monday, September the 2nd, the information provided by NOAA and the National Hurricane Center to President Trump and the wider public demonstrated that tropical storm force winds from Hurricane Dorian could impact Alabama. This is clearly demonstrated in Hurricane Advisories number 15 through 41, which can be viewed at the following link. The Birmingham National Weather Service's Sunday morning tweet spoke in absolute terms that were inconsistent with probabilities from the best forecast products available at the time. So NOAA throws, I just told you about the Birmingham National Weather Service tweet. They
right.
throw that National Weather Service office in Birmingham
under the bus.
Under the bus,
yes.
In the words of Ryan Maui, the Atlanta meteorologist there. So James Spann tweets, the tweet from National Weather Service Birmingham was spot on and accurate. If they are coming after them, they might as well come after me. How in the world has it come to this?
And that is, I think this is emblematic. While I don't think this is important, this is emblematic of where the discussion lies. It's nothing to do with policy or this or that. It's who's gonna be right no matter what. It sounds like an argument you have with siblings that goes on forever, even though facts are there and one will never admit that they're wrong. The other one will never admit they're wrong. It just goes on. And it just wastes everybody's time.
Right.
Now, I got my thing with the Sharpie marker drawn on there. I don't know why that was the catalyst to this whole thing. But it's just, this is not the issue. I think this is a symptom of the disease that we're in. And it's nothing to do with of which way our country goes. It's my person or your person. Mm-hmm. It's my team or your team. And it leads to this ridiculousness that we're dealing with right here.
Both sides, I think, in a lot of cases, and in this case, you know, the people who 100% are standing behind, I think the president's wrong in this, but I also think the other side, who's so quick to hit him, are wrong. I read an article in the Washington Post yesterday. They sent a reporter, unless he lives here in Mobile, they sent a reporter down here just to hit the president for saying that Alabama could potentially be
Dolphin Island. Did they?
They sent somebody. Yeah, he came down to Mobile. He went to Dolphin Island. It looked like he singled out, you know, anti-Trump people in this area to say, you know, we weren't worried about a storm at all. It was a hit piece. The Washington Post sent a reporter
down
here to
Mobile. So it's not reporting news. It was being a political hit piece.
Correct. I mean, it talks about there being loaves of bread like no one went out and bought all the loaves of bread and milk from the store like you would from a hurricane. A total hit piece. The Washington Post sent a reporter down. So both sides are acting ridiculous. Just like you said, with two kids arguing in the back of the car. For the president, you know, let it go. You made a mistake. No one would have talked about it any further. But for the other side, you're so quick to hit the president for anything he does wrong that you're now sending reporters down here for a storm that never came.
There you go. And I'd love to hear from you on this as well. 343-0106. 343-0106. Well, talk about this. I mean, maybe some specifically in the story, but I think it's a backdrop for a bigger discussion. This whole discussion just... Specifically, who said what kind of bores me. But the bigger discussion, what does this represent? I think that one's worth talking about.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
See the 1065 Music Festival canceled for this year. That was not our festival. I remember when they first launched that, we got people asking, hey, you putting on a music festival? I said, no. We're a talk radio station, not putting on the music festival. But yet the note came out from the 1065, as in I-10, I-65, right? But even though you see it written, it looks like we'll take whatever credit we can when there's credit to be taken, the 1065 Music Festival. But no, it's the 1065 Music Festival, and it's off for this year. I don't know what's, you know, of course, that the 1065 Music Festival stepping in, right, in light of Bayfest, right, and filling the void. And the press release came out from the organizers that said they're sitting it out for 2019. So it doesn't say that it's done. It just says this year, let's see a quote. They said, since the beginning of 1065, DMG Productions has faced many hurdles each year. Our team of volunteers, yes, they work for free, did an amazing job of staying focused and overcoming countless obstacles to execute a flawless event. We have been unwavering in our quest to keep the party free. From the beginning, we said no gates, no tickets, and this truly was the backbone of our entire event. Partygoers came together to support our downtown district. And, okay, goes on to say, but basically it sounds like they don't have the support this year. Yeah, here it is. This year, as the first weekend in October approaches, we are confronted with the painful reality that we do not have the necessary sponsor funds to deliver this free festival to Mobile. Year after year, we have established an expectation with our organization and with our partygoers about the kind of festival we want 1065 to be, and at this time, DMG Productions simply cannot meet that expectation. You would think with the economy doing as good as it would have been easier. I mean, the 5 years they've been doing it, it would have been easier to find sponsors this year, but I guess not. They said, but they're taking a break, but I don't think it's over with. Also this is a plea out there. Who still does hibachi in town? Huh? I saw like the place that we used to go. I just saw that the other day. You know what I'm talking about? Where like Japanese restaurant where. Right, where they cooking the food in front of you. I know, okay, we got Bamboo. Bamboo Steakhouse still there. And the one we used to go to there on Azalea, gone. Anybody got a favorite one of those? If I, I need another one to add. I usually have two on the list there. Bamboo was one, is one, and this other place. Who's still doing that? Looking for, you hit me up on the text line. You know, I like to watch, it's not just, I say it's for the kids. Oh, the kids, you tell my wife, oh, honey, the kids, they like it. They like to see all the chopping and flipping the shrimp into your mouth and, you know, lighting the onion volcano on fire and all that stuff. It's for the kids and their dad. So I wonder where else is doing that. All right, phone calls are stacked up here and texts as well. Let's get to them. 343-0106, the phone number. And Fireball, first up. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, y'all just still doing a fantastic job. But look, at my age, that hibachi, that ain't doing that but cooking the bait.
I love to watch the show, man. I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for it. I love it.
That's right. Well, they got one out there in Sims at McCrary and Moffett Road.
Okay, I know where. Okay, I know McCrary and Moffett. Okay, so have you been there?
No. I
have to go test it. I'll test it for you.
But that's not what I'm calling about. Hey, Ivy had my vote when she this last election.
Mm-hmm.
She'll never get my vote again.
You,
and this man over the DOT,
John Cooper,
especially Mobile County.
Now John Cooper's over the entire state, yes.
He's not getting the job done. For years, they were supposed to be working on Highway 98. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I'm following along,
and
so.
I heard that the state of Mississippi had a lawsuit against the state of Alabama because the state of Mississippi four-lane 98 and Highway 45. All the way to the state line, and Alabama didn't do their part of their agreement.
I can guarantee you that 45 section, we've been talking about trying to get 45, you know, four lane for a long time. I mean, I just a couple weeks ago had Representative Shane Stringer in here. He and I were talking about it.
Right.
I mean, it's like I always talk about, I drive that road a good bit, and it's the tough drive on 45 until you hit the Mississippi line, and then it's like the angels are singing and the sun's shining down, and you got the four lane split, you know, split highway.
That's
it's fantastic.
Right.
So you think Aldott
with 98 on in Alabama.
As soon as you hit Mississippi, it's a beautiful thing. So do you think anything? I mean, with what we saw go down here post bridge project, do you think we're ever going to get the money, or do you think we're going to get the money in the next 3 years for any of those projects?
Well, the company I work for is working on part of the over on 158, where 158 makes a hard turn and turns into Children's Road.
Yep.
We're working on that part there now. And I think Hosey Weaver Construction Company,
mm-hmm.
they're working on another part of it across the Prairie Road. But I still don't think in our mining, well, I'm 66, and I'm figuring you're somewhere around 50. And I don't know, but we may not even see it in our lifetime.
Probably not. Probably not, just like the bridge project. Fireball, appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Leaves line open at 343-0106. Back to the debate over the track of Hurricane Dorian. So my friend Ben says, let's see here. He said, you know I'm a weather nerd. I just know you're a nerd, man. No, I'm a weather nerd, in my opinion, this has split into two arguments. Number one, people saying Alabama was never in the pathway. It was early on, and it has been my biggest issue with the whole thing. I agree with that, Ben. I remember Dr. Bill said it was a possible possibility. It wasn't like any certainty, but it was one of the possible tracks which would have brought it across the Florida Peninsula. And then Ben says, number two, President Trump altering the days-old tracking chart and the nonsense that has come along with it. That's indefensible and extremely odd. He has had access to the latest info. Why not use it and move on? Ben, my question exactly. Like, I was wanting to be, you know, kind of say, come on, just give the guy, let's move on. Give the guy a chance on this. And then when he rolled out that the extra lobe drawn on the forecast map from before, at a certain point, there's people on the text line that are defending it. Donald and others have said, well, that, come on. Tell me how drawing the extra lobe on the, that's just childish. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that I don't support the ideas, some of the ideas of President Trump, a lot of the ideas of President Trump. that I don't want to have success with our country. But when I see something like that, I can't BS you, man. It's ridiculous. The texter says President Trump did it himself. Then he doubled down on it. Own it and keep moving. Keep it moving. There you go. Hey, we'll keep it moving when we come back. 343-0106. It is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I was jealous yesterday of my buddy Bill Finch and the discussion of favorite oak trees during plane gardening for the Gulf Coast. I was chiming in. He was like the team red oak. And I mean, red oaks have their place and stuff, but I mean, swamp chestnuts, white oaks. He did mention overcups. So they're like swamp chestnuts, white oaks, and overcups are my favorite of the Alabama oaks. And I know there's a ton. We've got great diversity of oaks here. But I mean, team red oak? Come on. Really? Really, Bill? Yeah, he and I can have to sit down and have a conversation. Hey, I'm sure he will school me 18 ways till Sunday on why I'm wrong, which is what he does. Pretty good at it. All right, phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106. I want to, let me go to Clifton first in Baldwin County, because this is what we're talking about, the hibachi. You got a recommendation for me?
I do. For a McCrary and Moffitt meat, it's called Secura.
That's the one that Fireball was talking about. Okay, Secura. Spell that for me.
S-A-K-U-R-A.
Okay.
And they got one side hibachi, one side they'll do sushi right in front of you. And it's really cool to watch. And I love, you know, I love the restaurant as a whole.
What is it with us that you and I obviously both like watching the process of preparing the food? I don't know, like, would there be an analog to this? Could we open up a restaurant in Japan where you and I just grilled out hamburgers and like Japanese people would sit in chairs watching us grill out serve them a hamburger?
I think they would. Have you ever heard of Rodney Carrington? He's a comedian. He
yeah.
Talks about the same
thing. He's got a restaurant. Does he do that?
Well, no. He's got a bit where he talks about why do people like watching sushi.
Oh,
talks about having rednecks go over there and cook in front of them and charging them for it.
Well, if we could get that job, Clifton, I'm in, man. So, Sakura. Oh, yes. Sakura. Okay, I'm in. I'm in. Thank you. Thank you for the recommendation. There's been a bunch here coming in on the... I'm sorry, I'm still in the coughing fits, so you have to make... give me a little bit of a break. The consumption that I was dealing with last week, which, by the way, big thank you, as always, pretty much any day that ends on Y. Big thank you to Dalton Norwig for making things work around here, Mark Holliday. It is rare that I get so sick I can't do a radio show. Last week was it. I've got this, and it sounds like I'm not alone. It sounds like a lot of people have got it. It's like a cough and cold. But about Wednesday of last week, I could barely get up and do it. By Thursday, I was in bed Thursday, Friday, into Saturday. Stuff leveled me. I still had the cough and cold, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I had a little fever or whatever. I don't know what it is. But a guy that's pretty resilient to getting sick. You know, I'm no show horse. I'm just a plow mule. I ain't much to look at, but I'll pull the plow most up. It hammered me, man. So I don't know what it is. Osaka on airport, okay. Styx on the eastern shore, have not been there before. Shogun on airport. Let's see. Man, this is good. This is good. So I have some more places to explore. All right. Oh, somebody pointing out, thank you. Thank you, Suzanne, that I'm not 50, like Fireball said. No, I am. Thank you, Suzanne, knows the truth. I'm 47, although through that illness, whatever I had, I feel like I'm 50. And also, thank you to whomever unnamed texter sent me a link. Listen to this. So, no, it wasn't unnamed. It was Dave from Gulf Shores. He said, I love this controversy, talking about the Hurricane Dorian controversy. He said, I love this controversy. I learned about Owly Skywarn. He's the NOAA mascot. And so I clicked this link to this, Dalton, if you could go on our text line and look. Owly is... I didn't know National Weather Service. And by the way, what's up, National Weather Service here in Mobile? I was pointing out the radar to my son the other day. We were riding by. I was like, that's the radar right there. That that white globe. Really good folks working National Weather Service here in Mobile, and probably elsewhere, but I don't know the elsewhere folks. I know the Mobile folks. But they have their own mascot, an owlie, like Towley, but no T. Owlie, owlie is the mascot for the National Weather Service. How have I been on the planet this many years and did not learn about owlie? Just Google that. Enjoy that for a little bit here. Somebody's asking, what happened earlier? Okay, the podcast should be up. And we talked in hour number one, talked to Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Also talked to State Senator Chris Elliott about being removed from the A-Trip 2 committee by Governor Kay Ivey, and having he was replaced by Senator Figures on that committee that's all Republicans, except now the Republican from here in our neck of the woods replaced by the Democrat, who, by the way, did not vote for Governor Ivey's signature gas tax. Remember, she was keeping score against everybody. Didn't vote. She didn't vote for. And listen, that's fine. If that's what her constituents wanted her to do, that's fine. But I want to point out that if the deal is that there are punishments being doled out or rewards being given from the governor's office, you got to ask a question. So Senator Figures does not vote for the gas tax, right? And so still gets put on this committee, making decisions for how gas tax money will go into projects locally. Okay, so point that out. So that's what happened today. He has been removed, State Senator Chris Elliott removed from that, replaced with a Democrat from Governor Ivey's office, right? And if you go back and listen to the podcast, you'll hear Chris Elliott say he didn't even get a heads up. It appeared over at the Alabama Political Reporter, Bill Britt's publication. It appeared over there before he ever got notice of it, had to request a letter from the governor telling him to get lost. Also, an update here, and I hopefully we'll get probably at the new news update from WKRG. We'll get more information on this story. Dalton was talking about it before we went on today, and now some more information. This coming from Levi Edwards over at AL.com about the shootout in Gulf Shores this morning. This is like something out of a movie, but it's sadly reality. It says a man died after a shootout with police officers in Gulf Shores this morning. It says Monday morning, but I'm going to go ahead and say this morning. The incident happened at approximately 4 a.m. at the Ocean House condos on West Beach Boulevard. According to Sergeant Jason Woodruff, Gulf Shores Police Department spokesman, an officer pulled over a man during a traffic stop on West Beach Boulevard. The officer had a brief conversation with the occupant of the vehicle and believed the man was driving under the influence. The man then sped away from the officer and was chased down by the officer a short distance away at Ocean House Condos. A physical altercation then ensued between the man and the officer in the parking lot of the condominiums as a suspect pulled out a firearm and started firing shots at the officer. Backup officers arrived at the scene to see the suspect exchanging shots with the officer. The backup officers then proceeded to fire shots at the suspect as well. The suspect ran to the ninth floor of the condominiums while still firing at the officers. The shootout with officers ended when the man fell off the balcony and died. It is yet to be determined if him falling was a result of being shot or him deliberately jumping off the balcony. No police were hurt or wounded in the shootout with the deceased. Baldwin County Crime Unit is currently investigating the case and will release more details as they become available. I mean, you get a traffic stop. And this is why, I mean, for police officers, how they deal with this every day. Every day. How they deal with this. I mean, go up, a traffic stop turns into car chase, gunfire, through a building, backup coming. I mean, holy cow. Thank goodness all the officers are safe in this one, and we'll be getting more updates on this, I'm sure, from WKRG coming up real soon. All right, 144, we'll check the news next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ah, yes, the vultures are circling just like they were last week. Another story up from yellowhammernews.com. Jeff Poore posted this. State Senator Andrew Jones says, bring the unused I-10 Mobile Bridge funds to my district, No to future tolls is not a viable alternative. So Jones is just one of, and we'll talk about Senator Doug Jones a little bit here, but Senator Andrew Jones, so this is State Senator Andrew Jones, Republican out of Center, Alabama, and he's one of the, I think there's been three that have been pretty vocal already saying, hey, they're not going to need that money down there for the bridge project, so bring it up to my district. Hey, listen, they're doing, the representatives and senators are doing what they're supposed to do from their parts of the state. It's just funny. It's like the project, it's not even on the down low. The project's not even that far in the rear view, and they're people are just lining up. They're ready for it. Jones confirmed that immediately upon news that the I-10 project was dead, he reached out to Ivy's office and ALDOT Director John Cooper. He says here, as soon as the project was declared dead, which, remember, that was like inside minutes of the Eastern Shore MPO's vote, said, I reach out to the governor's office and look forward to sitting down with the governor and the director of transportation, Cooper, very soon to talk about two key projects in my district. Listen, once again, I'm not mad at this dude. He's doing, Senator, I'm not mad at him. He's doing what he's supposed to do. It's just funny. It's like, as soon as that ball is knocked loose and it's, you know, just like in football, remember when ball, 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 that's money, 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 money. Somebody get on the money. Fall on the money. Fall on the money. Whatever you do, fall on the money. They're all lining up for it. Which, and if you heard us talking about it last hour, Governor Ivey touring projects up in Birmingham, road projects up in Birmingham. And then, of course, you have State Senator Chris Elliott being kicked off the A-Trip 2 committee. All right, speaking of another Jones, Doug Jones has kicked off his 2020 campaign in Birmingham. Hey, Dalton, maybe you have better access to this. Maybe there's nothing out there. I started looking for what Vegas says, because you've often been a good resource on this, like, because Vegas, you can get odds, if not out of Vegas, out of England somewhere, you can get odds on all kind of stuff, not just sporting events, like whether this will happen or not. What would the odds be, Dalton? I couldn't find anything. I could find, like, no news stories where they said, what would the odds be? But no real, like, gambling odds. What are the odds of Doug Jones winning an election? Get out of the primary stuff. We haven't even, believe me, and tomorrow, barring any unforeseen circumstances, we're going to delve back in big time to the Alabama GOP Senate race, which is just because the bridge stuff has been back burner. But this is huge. This is huge. This is the Alabama Senate race. This GOP side. Who's going to run against Doug Jones in the general? Remember, qualifying, that's all done the end of October, beginning of November. I think the Senate race, one of them's the end of October, the other one's the beginning of November when they qualify in that. But we're going to have the primary then set on the Republican side. So we'll be, you know, battling out who will face Doug Jones. But there's just the initial questions. As Doug Jones has launched his reelection campaign, which is a normal thing, what you would do, what kind of odds here? There are a bunch of articles came out on this today. This one from Anna Vollers over at AL.com says, Senator Doug Jones kicked off his bid for re-election today with a campaign event at the B&A warehouse in downtown Birmingham. He told a packed crowd at the warehouse, there's simply not enough words to describe how honored I am to be your United States Senator, after walking out onto the stage to the John Fogerty song, Center Field. Get it, Dalton? Maybe center field, right? Centrist, maybe? Center field? I don't know if he's part of the alt-centrist movement. It doesn't seem like it. Some of Jones's biggest applause moments came when he spoke of common sense gun reform, supporting increased voting access, and supporting a woman's right to choose when she wants to become a mother. So, I mean, that's the term now for abortion, right? Okay. Jones also talked about events that have landed Alabama in the national spotlight recently, including Governor Kay Ivey's admission earlier this month that she had appeared in blackface skit in the 1960s. He says it was a sad state of affairs that 64 years after the Montgomery bus boycott, the state of Alabama still has to promise to show the nation how far we've come. It's a painful admission that in the eyes of the nation, folks just don't believe we've come very far. They're wrong. I know they are, but we've got to show it. Which, by the way, a side note, too, I've read a lot of the text and emails here. People have wondered if the appointment of Senator Figures was some kind of that move was from the governor's office as some kind of apology for her blackface skit from the 1960s. I mean, that makes no sense. She didn't do that to Senator Figures. Now, the Figures family has a great legacy in fighting for equal rights and civil rights. But KIV didn't do that to... If that was the reasoning, then I'm beyond bothered. I was already bothered by the governor's move there, but I'm beyond bothered.
That'd be bad. I did not find...
There's no odds, right?
Odds. Well, I didn't find odds on the Senate election, but I did actually find odds on the primary for the Republicans. Nothing on Doug Jones.
Nothing on the... That's what I was wondering. As he announced this, I was wondering if people... If he's looking for donations, you know, people probably got to go say, man, what? How much of a chance does he have?
Right, but I did find
there's GOP. There's GOP.
There odds. Are GOP
like
Alabama.
Money line.
Money line odds. And this actually comes from a site in Great Britain called oddschecker.com. Can't find anything here in America on the primary odds, but in Great Britain they do have odds. And the two co-favorites... Okay. I'll take a stab at that.
So it's Bradley Byrne.
Correct.
And it's Tuberville.
That's right. They're both.
And are they tied?
They're tied. 7-5 odds, which if you convert that to money line, a lot of people know, +140, which means every dollar you bet, you get $1.40 in return if one of them wins. It's basically, they're right around 42% chance of winning for both of them.
Okay.
Together. So 84% chance, or 84% chance that either Byrne or Tuberville wins, because they're both given right around 42%. Then behind them, they give John Merrill the next shortest odds at 7-2 odds, and then the longest odds, they've only got four candidates up there, but Roy Moore at 24-5 odds, but nothing on
24-5. So there's your long shot. There's your dark horse. There's Sassy the dark horse.
If you wanted to bet on Roy Moore, you'd get just about $5 for every dollar you bet if he were to win.
Which is interesting because that's kind of the ratio inverted of what will be spent in the race by Roy Moore. You know, like, yeah. You remember last time this went down, Luther Strange's folks, they outspent, they, if I remember this correctly, they outspent Roy Moore by like $23 to $1 or something, or maybe even higher than that, 26 or something like that. Still couldn't.
Well, it was so much like the 2016 presidential election. Mm-hmm. The president, President Trump, spent so much less money than everyone else, but had so much more screen time on the national media. Same thing happened with Roy Moore. For some reason, I don't think he's going to be getting that screen time this time.
Now, and we're like I said, tomorrow, barring any unforeseen news stories, we will delve into this because we have let this alone for too long. There's not been a big, we have not, it's been toll, it's been other things we've been focused on, and we've not been focused on the GOP primary for Senate 2020. So we got odds on them, but no odds on Doug Jones.
No odds on Doug Jones.
What would you put, where would you put his odds? Like, so it's a general, because obviously he doesn't, and I don't know if, I don't know if he's going to get, what's his name, was going to oppose him in the primary, but I don't think he's going to have any appreciable, you know, opposition in the primary. So basically just looking at the general election.
You for give Doug him, Jones?
You give him...
I'd give him about a 10% chance to win.
Okay.
Which that'd be right around, I think, 9-1 odds.
I give him a 44% chance of winning.
Really?
44% chance of winning.
No matter the opponent.
Right, because he's going to be at that point, well... Okay. No. Okay. If it's Roy Moore again,
yes,
I give him a 54% chance of winning. Okay, there you go. If Roy Moore is running, it's a 54% chance of winning. If it's any other Republican, it's a 34% chance of winning. So
okay.
Somewhere in between is where you combine those numbers. Yes, he's 34% chance of winning if any other Republican other than Roy Moore is running. If Roy Moore is running,
better than even odds.
I think he wins again.
Interesting. Very interesting.
We'll see where that goes. All right. We are out of here. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. He probably has a couple things to talk about.
Yeah. I think there was some football played this weekend.
Good.
This little school in out of Baton Rouge, actually, LSU. You might have heard of them. They had a big win against Texas, and same for Clemson over Texas A&M. So I'm sure he'll talk about those two games coming up next.
All right. And if you want some more analysis on the games from over the weekend and looking forward to next week, tune in tonight, 6 o'clock. Corey, Dalton, Sports Night.
Yeah.
You could do two, three segments on the Tennessee Vols?
Yes. I'm going to say what I would do if I were Philip Fulmer. And part of that might involve Philip Fulmer becoming the head coach, once again, of the Tennessee Vols.
It was his plan from the word go. He gets in there. He gets in there, and he starts his... All right, I'll be tuned in. I'm sending mean tweets. All right, y'all have a good one.